This is the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
Brady takes the snap, back to throw, gets rid of it down the field. Caught, 20-yard line, 30, 35, 40, down the left sideline. He's going to go the distance, a 99-yard touchdown play.
The Sun Life Patriots postgame show is your source for instant news and reaction following every Patriots game.
The Patriots are Super Bowl.
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Welcome into the Sun Live Patriots postgame show here on patriots.com. Adam Jones, live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can get in touch, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. Honestly, not a ton to get worked up about in this game from the New England Patriots. They lose to the Eagles 27-17, but you lose to a team that played their starters into the second half on both sides of the football. You know, DeSean Jackson's out there in the second half making plays, along with LeSean McCoy and Jeremy Maclin on offense. Defensively, you see Trent Cole and Nnamdi Asamoah and all these players out there in the second half, and the Patriots are essentially, for the most part, playing second stringers. So, for me, not a ton to get worked up about negatively. Doesn't mean we can't critique this game. Doesn't mean there are no takeaways from the game. But in the final result, I think there was some promising things that came out of this one for the Patriots, given the fact that what we thought, assumed, your third-string quarterback was going to be, Ryan Mallett, comes out and I thought played pretty well against the Eagles' first-team defense. And maybe the stats don't totally tell the story there. 10 of 20, 105 yards, and a touchdown. I thought he looked a lot better than he did against backups last week in the Patriots' preseason opener against the New Orleans Saints. Your thoughts on how the Patriots' backup quarterbacks played? Because I thought Mallett looked good. Another bad outing for Brian Hoyer. 5 of 17, 55 yards, just a poor performance from him. So we'll take your thoughts on the quarterbacks throughout the course of the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. You can give us a call, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. We'll also take your thoughts on Bill Belichick's decision to rest his guys. No Brady, no Gronk, no Lloyd, no Wilfork, no Mayo, no Aaron Hernandez. So what'd you think of Bill Belichick's approach? Certainly it was in stark contrast to how Andy Reid handled this game. We touched on this a lot on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social here on Patriots.com. We'll take your thoughts on that as well. 508-298-0398. It's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. And it is the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Sun Life Financial can help you protect your financial security, whether you're in the game or sideline with an illness or injury. Talk to your employer about Sun Life benefits or visit sunlifeknowsbenefits.com to learn more. Get the benefit, get to know Sun Life. As we like to do on each and every Patriots postgame show, we'll kick things off with the good, the bad, and the injured.
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
You don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
On the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
All right, first thing that stood out to me, aside from the quarterbacks, who we'll get to, they're independent of this thing tonight. First team defense, strong again for me. And what play stood out among all others? The Patriots' first team defense flattening. And I mean flattening. Michael Vick knocking him out of the game, had to go get x-rays, which turned out to be negative. But on the second drive, it was Kyle Love flushing Mike Vick, out of the pocket, and then Jermaine Cunningham finishing him off. Two drives, they gave up just two first downs, led to two punts. That's a week after holding Drew Brees to 1 of 4 for 4 yards last week. So another standout performance from the first team defense. Thought Deion Branch was also on my good list tonight. 3 catches, 51 yards, including a couple of big third down conversions, a 3rd and 20 and a 3rd and 17. There's a lot of speculation about whether or not Branch will be on this team. I've held strong, believing he will, and tonight I thought was a strong performance from him. Also, the debut of Nate Ebner went pretty well, wouldn't you say? Interception down by the end zone, and look, it was on an underthrown ball. from Nick Foles, the Eagles' backup quarterback. But Ebner still had to make a play on the ball, showed the quality ball skills that we've been seeing in training camp thus far. So a nice debut for him. Bad list. I guess you can pick a lot of guys on the offensive line. Marcus Cannon, again, stuck out to me. I thought he was awful last week at right tackle. I think he was worse this week, believe it or not. Gave up a sack that led to a forced fumble, which led to the Eagles' second touchdown. So Brian Hoyer got strip sacked there through no fault of his own. That was Marcus Cannon. He also had a hold and two pressures. So I thought Cannon was bad at that right tackle spot. Sebastian Vollmer cannot come back soon enough for my money. Also, Brandon Bolden muffed a punt. Inexcusable. Led to the Eagles' first touchdown in this one. Couple of short fields on the Eagles' first two touchdowns. They had to go 24 yards and 12 yards because of Marcus Cannon and Brandon Bolden. Exactly, Kevin Collins. That's why those two are on my bad list. By the way, ain't like Bolden ran the football well in this one either. 7 carries for 14 yards. So he was on my bad list, as was Sterling Moore for the second straight week. Pains me to do it. I like Sterling Moore. I think he can contribute on this team this season, but first drive of the second half, 40-yard bomb to DeSean Jackson against a backup quarterback, Nick Foles, and also had a defensive holding on Jackson on the third drive of the game for the Philadelphia Eagles. So those were the three on my bad list. And then the one injury that stood out, a major one for the Patriots, and not good news, though I'm sure we'll find out more over the course of this postgame show. Patrick Chung knocked out of this one early with a shoulder injury, something that bears monitoring, because I thought he and Steve Gregory looked pretty good in that first preseason game. Now, in the matter of a week, you've lost Tavon Wilson, although temporarily, but he didn't suit up in this one, and now Patrick Chung. So that safety spot bears watching, and that's the good, the bad, and the injured here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. I said the quarterbacks are something that we're going to focus on quite a bit tonight on this program. No Tom Brady in this thing. So it was a real opportunity to see
a lot of players tonight,
what these guys look like. These guys being Ryan Mallett and Brian Hoyer. And I thought it was an interesting decision by Bill Belichick to get Mallett out there first. Let him start the game. Let him work with players like Deion Branch, Dante Stallworth, you know, even Shane Vereen, you know, players who you think are going to be part of your offense this season, or at least players with some experience. You know, don't have them out there with the Jesse Hollies of the world, right, at the end of the game. Like, at least give them somebody with experience. Doesn't have to be Gronkowski. Doesn't have to be Brandon Lloyd. Those guys didn't suit up, and this is something we talked about on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social leading up to this game. But give them an opportunity with some players who know what they're doing. And I thought Mallett looked better in this game than he did last week. Not great. And I'm not saying he was perfect. In fact, I went through a bunch of his throws in the first half, and I had about as many X marks for bad throws as I did check marks for good throws. But there were a few impressive throws for me from Ryan Mallett tonight. And one was the touchdown pass. And it wasn't the throw necessarily, because it was a nice throw to Alex Silvestro, and it was a good catch in the corner of the end zone by Silvestro. Third drive for the Patriots. 13 plays, 80 yards, capped by an 8-yard touchdown by Alex Silvestro. I just thought Mallett showed some pocket presence. Stepped up. You know, people are diving at his feet. He stepped up in the pressure and was able to find Silvestro, you know, in the corner of the end zone. So for me, I thought that was a nice sign from Ryan Mallett. Conversely, with Brian Hoyer, I didn't see anything good out of Hoyer tonight. You know, and I will say this, both of those quarterbacks for the Patriots, backup quarterbacks, look much more comfortable throwing those underneath screen passes, you know, the drag routes. Like, that's what these guys seem comfortable throwing, at least for the most part. You know, I thought that's where Mallett looked good. I thought that that's where Hoyer, on his few completions, looked good. So, for me, that's where those guys seem comfortable. Throwing the football down the field, how many times did you see one of the Patriots quarterbacks underthrow Dante Stallworth in this thing last night? Or tonight, rather. So, I think those underneath routes, they look pretty comfortable. Screens, drag routes, that's where those two quarterbacks look comfortable. And it brings up a bigger picture question for the Patriots. You know, how comfortable are you beyond Tom Brady. And I understand the school of thought, look, if he goes down, you're screwed anyway. Trust me, I get that. But how do you feel about these backup quarterbacks? And to me, I don't know, Ryan Mallett going against what I think is a pretty decent defense in the Philadelphia Eagles, and certainly one that can dial up pressure without his top weapons tonight, or without what would be your top weapons in the New England Patriots. No Gronkowski, no Hernandez, no Lloyd, no Welker. So, I don't know, I thought without some top weapons, I thought he acquitted himself pretty nicely tonight. I thought it was a step forward for him, and more of the same from Brian Hoyer. Now, quickly, on Bill Belichick's approach, and again, we'll take your thoughts here, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. On Bill Belichick and his decision, I'm fine with it. You know, I understand people pay money to come to these preseason games and they want to see Tom Brady suit up. They want to see other guys suit up. But look at the condensed schedule for the Patriots. 3 games in 10 days. And look to the other sideline. Andy Reid's team and the Philadelphia Eagles, look at them and how they're doing it. They have 3 games in 11 days. They're just choosing this game, this one, week two, to be the one where they really push their guys. And the reason they're doing it is because they play the Cleveland Browns next week in week 3 of the preseason, who also happen to be their week 1 opponent. So it made sense that the Eagles would really push things here in this game. And the Patriots, they typically dial it up week 3 of the preseason. That's typically when they do these things. They're going to be heading to Tampa tomorrow for joint practices, which begin on Wednesday. They do them again on Thursday, then they play Tampa on Friday. You know, you can simulate a short week. You can simulate road conditions. You can simulate heat. So it makes sense for the Patriots to dial this thing up. And it makes sense for the Patriots to put an emphasis on the third preseason game. It's what they typically do. So look, I wanted to see more of the Patriots' top weapons. I wanted to see Brady to Lloyd. You know, I wanted to see how that looked, because I didn't think it looked excellent in the first preseason game. I want to see the O-line protect Tom Brady. They certainly didn't protect the backup quarterbacks tonight, especially the right tackle, Marcus Cannon. So, you know, I just look at it and say, I understand that more Patriots fans want to see the top weapons, but I didn't have a problem with the way this thing was approached. You know, for me, it made sense given the Patriots' schedule. The Eagles are doing something similar. They're just doing it next week instead of this week. So those are a few things we're chewing on here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. You can get in touch. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. Coming up tonight on the program, you'll hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick, as you do on each and every Sun Life Patriots postgame show. We'll relay his audio from the podium. You'll also hear from one of the Patriots who got in the end zone tonight, Alex Silvestro, converted tight end, will be joining us later on here on the program. You can get in touch till then. Working our way through the emails here. Kyle writes in, guys, hi, from the UK, lying in my bed at 2 a.m., watching the match on my phone. Shame it isn't broadcasted in the UK. Wish it could be changed. Getting tired now, but we'll carry on supporting. And again, that's Kyle writing in to webradio@patriots.com. I don't know, Kevin. I get the sense that he's one of the few. He's one of the few who stuck this thing out and was watching by game's end.
This
because
was painful.
You know what? Look, honestly, painful by the end, sure. You know, even by the fourth quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter, Kevin, sure, it was a little painful.
First game for me in 3 years where I had to go in at halftime and get coffee to stay awake.
So I had a coffee about second quarter in this one, too. And trust me, I don't like ingesting too much caffeine too late, because it keeps me up, Kevin. I'll be like Kyle, who just wrote in, lying awake in bed at 2 a.m. But I don't know, for the first half, I thought this was a promising game for the Patriots. Again, the only reason the Eagles scored, if you go back and look at the drives, they had 2 short fields. You know, they had to go 24 yards after the muff punt by Brandon Bolden. That's it. 24 yards, 3 plays. They marched right down the Patriots' throats. But that's all they had to do. The following drive, Marcus Cannon gets beat, allows a strip sack of Brian Hoyer, and all the Eagles have to do is go 12 yards in 2 plays. So, I don't know, that first half I look at it and say, yeah, there are bad things. I mean, those were 2 of the worst things in the game for me. No, those were 2 of my 3 bads.
Yeah, and if you're gonna try to make an excuse for the defense, a lot of times you hear people talk about those sudden changes. you know, defense gets off the field, they force the punt, and all of a sudden, you know.
Well, it's like, look, I mean, I'm not going to hammer away on the defense again. I thought the first team defense was good in this one. I mean, go back
and
look at the
you.
First couple of drives for the Eagles.
Yeah, I agree with you.
They come out, five-play drive. Dont'a Hightower has a breakup on third and two, right? So that's the first drive, so the Eagles have to punt. Their next drive is a six-play drive, but part of it was done without Michael Vick because the Patriots absolutely nailed Vick on that opening drive, and it was Kyle Love who started it. You know, Jermaine Cunningham's going to be the one who gets a lot of the credit for drilling Vick, knocking him out of the game, and again, he had to get x-rays, which came back negative. But Kyle Love started it. You know, flushed Vick out of the pocket and chased him right into Jermaine Cunningham's waiting arms. I don't know. I thought the first team defense was good. By the way, on that second drive, Chandler Jones pressured in the pocket.
Yep.
You know, was able to pressure Nick Foles, who was still able to complete his pass, to LeSean McCoy. You know, a little later on in the drive, you get a pressure from Ron Brace, who started the game in place of Vince Wilfork. So, I don't know. I thought those first two drives, that's really the only time the Patriots' first team defense was out there. I thought they looked fine. I thought they looked fine. So, that's two games now. Two games out of two in the preseason where the Patriots' first team defense has looked good against the high-powered offense. You know, week one, it was Drew Brees, 1 of 4, 4 yards. Granted, it was only a couple of drives, but they looked good. You saw the rookies flash, especially Chandler Jones. This week, I don't want to say it was more of the same. It wasn't quite the same dominating performance, certainly from Jones, but you knocked a starting quarterback out, and you didn't have three and outs on the first two drives, but you only gave up a first down on each, and they led to two punts. So I don't know. It's a small sample size, but I feel pretty good about that first team D. And I'm real curious to see how they do against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers next week, or on Friday, rather. Now, let's see how they handle this thing. And I don't think that's a high-powered offense down there, but they should get an extended run. So should the Bucs starters. That might be the one that tells us the most. Remember, last year against the Detroit Lions, that was the third preseason game, and that told us an awful lot about the Patriots' defense last year. Let's hope it's not a repeat of that thing. Let's hope the Patriots continue to carry over some of those good feelings from this one and from the first two games, because I thought the first-team defense has looked pretty good thus far this preseason. By the way, mentioned Chandler Jones. Quick tabs on the rookies in this one. I thought Jones, with his pressure, looked fine in the couple of series he played, maybe three series he played. Dont'a Hightower had a breakup on his opening series. Flashed again. Jake Beckett, more of a mixed bag from him. He also had a pressure in this one. Came on the sixth drive for the Eagles of the first half, and then in the second drive of the second half, he had a roughing penalty. So, mixed bag out of Jake Beckett. Obviously, Tavon Wilson didn't play in this one. And one of the other guys who flashed was Nate Ebner, who, look, we've been reading about all week, and Andy and Paul were talking about him quite a bit in the pregame show. He's a guy who seems to have ball skills. You know, someone who seems to have a nose for the football. You know, when you start getting interception after interception after interception in practice, maybe it's not by accident. And we saw him get one tonight. Now, again, to me, it was at least somewhat a byproduct of an underthrown ball by Nick Foles. You know, Foles had his guy in the end zone. If he leads him at all, he should get a touchdown. That's what he should have had on that play. But Ebner capitalizes on the underthrown ball. So I thought he did well for himself tonight. One of the Patriots rookies who stood out. And I thought the four of them that I just mentioned all flashed in at least some way. So that's another positive sign for the Patriots this preseason. Seems like the draft class initially is making an impact here in the first couple of preseason games. Adam Jones here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. You know, the Chung injury is something that I glazed over a bit earlier in the program. And Kevin, I see you shaking your head in the other room. You know, for me, it's twofold with Chung. You know, one, you want him out there because you want him working with your other top safety in Steve Gregory. But two, just with this guy specifically, You're talking about a player who has been dinged up an awful lot in his New England career. And remember, there was some talk this offseason about, well, what are they going to do? You know, what are they going to do? Are they going to sign Patrick Chung to an extension? You know, maybe are you looking at a franchise tag for him at some point? I mean, these financials have been discussed and talked about with Patrick Chung. And durability is always the thing that comes up. It's always the thing that comes up. And unfortunately, he was forced out of this game in the first quarter. You know, the opening drive for the Philadelphia Eagles, or check that, the second drive by the Philadelphia Eagles, had to leave the game with what was announced as a shoulder injury. And certainly, it's not good news for the New England Patriots. However, tell you what was good news, Ryan Mallett able to find Alex Silvestro in the end zone in this one on the third drive for the New England Patriots. And joining us now here on the Ace Ticket Hotline is Patriots converted tight end Alex Silvestro, joining us here on the program. First of all, Alex, thanks so much for taking the time, man.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
How did it feel getting in the end zone?
Felt good. It's kind of been a while since I've, I think it was almost like 5 years since I scored my last touchdown back in high school sometime.
Take us through, or take us back to the huddle, I guess, where you knew the play call that was coming. When did you have a sense that you might be able to get in the end zone?
I mean, the play's designed, you know, to get, you know, try to get close to the end zone to get in. And, you know, when I ran my route, I just broke it on the end line and, you know, was looking for a pass and now threw a great pass.
We know Bill Belichick elected to go without a number of the starters in this one, specifically at your position, you know, no Rob Gronkowski, no Aaron Hernandez. What does the coaching staff say to you going into this game?
You know, just pretty much what they say every game. You know, they do a good job of trying to get everyone, teaching everyone, you know, each play, you know, what the game's going to be. They let you know that you're going to get the start. And, you know, whatever they tell us, I mean, they kind of teach everyone the same way. So I just went in, and, you know, with the game plan they had and tried to do it the best I could.
When did they first start working you at tight end?
It was back in spring, I guess. We came in for the OTAs and off-season training and stuff like that.
How'd that come about?
I got a call in the off-season, and they just had asked if, you know, they kind of asked and were like, hey, we know we did player evaluation and want to move you to tight end. I said, all right, you know, it's fine with me, whatever you want.
What would you describe yourself as, more of a Gronk or more of an Aaron Hernandez?
Well, I would go with you, I guess, maybe neither. I'm just trying to, you know, develop the best I can and get out with what I can do. I mean, they're both the great players and, you know, have very good styles of playing football.
Patriots tight end Alex Silvestro joining us here on the Sun Life Patriots post-game show with Adam Jones here on Patriots.com. Alex, obviously a quick turnaround for you guys this week. You're leaving for Tampa, I believe, tomorrow. You'll have the joint practices here on Thursday, or Wednesday and Thursday, leading into the game on Friday. You've already been through joint practices once. What stood out to you about that experience?
You know, I felt like it kind of was just like a normal practice to me, just with, you know, obviously more people. I mean, you know, it was something new. I never had done it before, and, you know, it was a different experience. And, you know, I kind of liked it. I know it gave you different looks, different players and stuff, but, I mean, everything, you know, still kind of was like the same practice, just with, you know, the Saints were there.
What did the coaching staff say about the quick turnaround to you guys?
We all know we got a couple games coming up, and we got to sit here and we got to prepare and grind and, you know, get the work done.
What was the reaction on the sideline when you saw Pat Chung have to leave the game?
I didn't even notice he had to leave the game. I hope he's good. I mean, I have no clue what had happened.
All right. Well, Patrick Chung forced to leave the game with a shoulder injury, did not return. Alex Silvestro, one of the Patriots to get in the end zone, a 27-17 loss to the Philadelphia Eagles here at Gillette Stadium. Alex, thanks so much for taking the time on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show.
Yep, thank you. No problem.
All right, Alex Silvestro joining us here. And a few interesting things there that stand out. Look, the guys like the joint practices. Like, and I heard Jaws talking about this, or not Jaws.
Jaws. Jaws.
Why am I mixing up the
Jaws? Name?
Gruden?
Who Gruden is what go. I'm trying to come up with. Excuse me. I see Jaws, I see Jaws babbling
I'm just
away here
keep
on the
playing
TV
this for,
right?
the, for the rest of the night.
I see him talking Jaws. On my TV. Gruden, I heard talking about this, saying, well, I don't get why more teams don't do it. And you can tell from talking to Alex Silvestro, talking to other Patriots, they enjoy these joint practices. You know, you get tired of hammering away on one another. Now, I don't know how much they enjoy the quick turnaround and flying out and going right down to the joint practices in the Florida heat. But you can tell the players enjoy doing this. Also, I thought it was interesting to hear from Alex. Look, this is part of the evaluation. And way back in spring, they thought they'd give him a shot at tight end. Didn't take the cheese, though, on that question, huh, Kevin? Is he more of a Gronk or more of a Hernandez? Didn't take it.
I thought for sure he was going to say Gronk.
He's not as quick as Aaron, that's for sure. No offense to Hernandez, but like, who wouldn't want to be Gronk? Like, that's what I would have said.
It's Gronk's world. We're just living in it. End of story.
You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. It's how you get in touch with the Sun Live Patriots postgame show here on patriots.com. Adam Jones with you live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Coming up next, you'll hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick from the podium. That's next here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo sacks at Gerard Mayo speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Right now, we're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. You can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. With tickets to all the games, home and away, for all your favorite Boston teams, Ace Ticket has the best seats at the lowest prices, always. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com from any device. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Pats fans, here's your chance to experience the ultimate road trip. Enter the Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle for a chance to travel in style with the Patriots to an away game. The grand prize includes seats on the team plane, a room in the team hotel, a pair of tickets to the game, access to the field on game day, and much more. Proceeds from the raffle will benefit the Patriots Charitable Foundation. Buy your Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle tickets today by logging on to www.patriots.com.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder wait list and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
I love this card.
With my Bank of AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Welcome back to the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Sun Life Patriots postgame show, Adam Jones. Live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. Couple of ways to get in touch. Hey, stick it hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. We'll work our way through a few of those momentarily. You'll also hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick coming up here in just a few minutes from the podium. Wanted to pass this along, though, because there was some talk of this in the press box tonight. You know, not only was Tom Brady he didn't play in this game or dress for this game, but he wasn't even spotted on the sideline. And there was some discussion about this in the press box tonight. And I'm just reading from Mike Reese here on ESPNBoston.com. But he passed this along. While some players who didn't play were dressed on the sideline, Brady wasn't one of them. Just a guess, writes Reese. But this could be a similar situation to 2008 when Brady was injured and wasn't on the sideline as the club transitioned to backup Matt Cassel. That was believed to be a directive from Coach Bill Belichick so Brady wouldn't become a focal point of media attention on the sideline. So there's one theory, at least, of why Tom Brady wasn't there. Not something I have a big problem with, by the way. I mean, you'd certainly like to see him at some point in the game. You know, you don't want to think that, you know, he's driving home or not even watching his teammates in the game, but maybe it's a directive from Belichick so that the media focus, the television cameras, what have you, you know, aren't constantly focusing in on Tom Brady. That's at least one theory from Mike Reese of ESPNBoston.com. Let's work our way through a few of these emails before we head to the podium for head coach Bill Belichick. J-U-V, how would you pronounce that, Kevin?
Pretty sure it's Juve. He writes in the PFW a lot. He's a loyal listener.
Juve, my mistake. Writes in to Web Radio at Patriots.com. Guys, horrible, pathetic game to watch. Who sucks more, Hoyer or Mallett? After watching the game, I can't decide. God forbid Brady goes down. We're screwed big time. Maybe we can still trade both backups for a no-name who can play better. I wasn't down on Mallett in this one, in all honesty. And look, I don't think it was a great performance. I don't. But it was head and shoulders better than he looked in New Orleans. And I don't know, maybe some of that is playing with better personnel. And he did in this one. You know, he's out there with Deion Branch and Dante Stallworth. And not that these are Brandon Lloyd, Wes Welker, Rob Gronkowski, Aaron Hernandez, you know, not that they're your best personnel or anything like that, but I thought it was better. And I thought he was certainly better. And I told you, the obvious play that everyone will go to as one of his best throws is the touchdown to Alex Silvestro. But for me, it wasn't the throw, like the arm action or the delivery of the football. That's not what it was. Not for me. I thought he stepped up against the pressure. He didn't look rattled in the pocket. You know, he stepped up comfortably and threw to Alex Silvestro. So I thought that play stood out. You know, there were a few other good ones from Ryan Mallett. And again, I said both he and Hoyer, I think, look more comfortable on the screens and the drags than they do throwing the football down the field. But there was a 16-yard screen pass to Julian Edelman. He looked very comfortable throwing that. There was a 3rd and 4 where he hit Deion Branch for 20 yards. And then there was another screen to Shane Vereen for 20 yards on a 3rd and 9. So I thought there were some good throws in this game from Ryan Mallett. Was he great? Not by any means. Not by any means. But 10 of 20, 105 yards and a touchdown? You're telling me that that's even in the discussion with 5 of 17, 55 yards, no touchdowns, no picks from Brian Hoyer? Like, to me, he's been disappointing this preseason. I thought he was a little bit disappointing last preseason, he being Hoyer. You know, he's a guy who I thought has shown flashes at various points. And honestly, if Brady were to go down, I think the Patriots would be okay. They did it with Matt Cassel. I see no reason why Hoyer and or Mallett wouldn't work. You're not winning a title, but, you know, you can still be competitive. They proved that. in 2008, winning 11 games, granted, against a weak schedule, which is part of the reason they missed out, because everyone else in their division won 11 or 12 games as well. But I think you can get by with these two guys. That said, how should we view tonight that Ryan Mallett played first? Does that mean he's second on the depth chart? I don't feel that way, but I do think he made much more of his opportunity tonight than Brian Hoyer did. And obviously the box score tells you the same story, but I just think watching the two out there, I thought Mallett looked like he improved from week one. And Hoyer, at the very least, was the same, which was poor, and maybe even a step backwards. Let's check another email here to webradio@patriots.com. That's where Joel writes in. Adam, what's your thought on second-year player Rossi Dowling? I'm not really impressed. Love the show, and I'll be calling during the regular season. That's Joel, live in Atlanta from Boston. We appreciate the feedback to webradio@patriots.com. We look forward to hearing from you guys throughout the course of the season here. You know, to me, Rossi Dowling, I didn't think either of the corners looked good in this one. You know, look who you're going against. I thought the first-team defense did a nice job. And by the way, first-team defense in this one tonight means Rossi Dowling and Sterling Moore at the corner spots. You know, the first guy coming on in sub-packages tonight was Marquise Cole. So some corners weren't out there tonight. No McCourty, no Arrington. They didn't play, which, again, meant Dowling and Moore were your top two guys. Thought they did a nice job against Vic. Again, he was out of the game pretty quick. But Nick Foles, third-round pick this year, 18 of 28, 217. Couple of touchdowns and a pick on what was an underthrown ball, and a safety made a play on it, Nate Ebner. I didn't think either of the safeties, corners, flashed in this one. And I thought Sterling Moore was worse. And it's the second week in a row I've had him on my bad list. Remember, last week, same story from Sterling Moore. And I hope he gets better, because I thought he's a guy who flashed a little bit for you at the end of the season last year and into the postseason. Everybody remembers the play he made on Lee Evans in the AFC Championship game here in Foxborough. So, you know, I'm disappointed to put him on the bad list 2 weeks in a row, but I thought he was the worst of the two. But by no means did Rossi Dowling stand out in a good way in this one. You know, by no means did either of the cornerbacks stand out in a good way in this one. And I do think that's somewhat disheartening. And I'll tell you what else is disheartening, at least from the standpoint of Rossi Dowling, is that he hasn't been able to beat out Kyle Arrington yet. Like, Kyle Arrington was the outside guy week one of the preseason against New Orleans. These are the kind of things I think you can read into in the preseason. I think you can read into who lines up where, what's the depth chart look like, you know, who's in a sub package, who's in your base package. And I thought it was noteworthy that Arrington was your outside guy opposite McCourty, and that it wasn't Rossi Dowling, because last year was different. And I anticipated Dowling to be the outside guy. So it gives you a bit of a view on what the coaching staff thinks of him, and I don't think he helped himself out at all today. You know, there weren't glaringly bad plays like there were with Sterling Moore, a penalty, and a 40-yard bomb to DeSean Jackson, but he didn't help himself at all in this one. Adam Jones with you, Sun Life Patriots post-game show here on Patriots.com. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. We'll continue with your phone calls. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Right now, let's head to the podium, where earlier tonight, Patriots head coach Bill Belichick spoke following his team's 27-17 loss, week two of the preseason, to the Philadelphia Eagles.
We got a quick turnaround this week in Tampa, and you know, these are the days that we can, you know, as a team, really learn from a lot of these experiences, game situations, training camp practices, and so forth to make our team better. So that's what we're going to do. But it was a good, some good experience out there for us tonight. Some good situations came up. You know, we played against a good team, and you know, I thought we competed hard. Obviously, we didn't make enough plays to win, but there's some things to build on there, and obviously a lot of things to correct.
You guys didn't really build out a chance to look at this tape, break it down, goals and stuff, or would you be right into it?
Yeah, we'll do that tomorrow, and then we'll head to Tampa tomorrow night. So it'll be like a normal day after the game for us, and then we're headed to Tampa.
Mm-hmm. So can you speak about that three games in like a 9-day span?
What about?
Does that affect you guys preparing? Obviously, you set up a schedule.
Yeah. No, it is what it is. We don't make the schedule.
Bill, this is the first time we've seen you since you guys added Jeff Dems. Can you just comment on that addition? What maybe drew you guys from?
We scouted him coming into the draft last year, and then he, of course, went to the Olympics. After that, he was like any other undrafted player. So we worked him out, and we agreed to it with him.
Did you have a level of concern about the protection early on, some of the passing game situations?
Well, I mean, yeah, the Eagles are a good team, so, you know, concerned about everything, but just go out there and play. We had like over 50 plays in the first half, and we had a lot of snaps there, so got a chance to evaluate a lot of, you know, a lot of things against Eagles. There was a half the distance of the penalty, and so instead of the ball being on the two, it was on the one, so we went for it. I don't know what you're talking about. The ball's on the 2 yard line. It was a half the distance of the goal line penalty, so they put the ball on the one, so we went for 2 points. I'm confused. What? Sorry. But he's one of the players that's been, you know, we have several players doing that, calling the defensive signals. We change it from game to game or within practices so that multiple players are able to do that depending on what could come up during the year. So now's the time where everybody practices it, and he's one of those guys. Yep.
Made Evan Smith a bit of a hot streak with making plays on the ball, open practice, what has helped his instincts? Well, I guess if he has instincts, have you noticed that there's instincts?
Yeah, well, you know, Nate's showing up around the ball, and, you know, that's good. I mean, there's certainly a lot of things he needs to work on, and it's, you know, he has his good plays, he makes mistakes, learns from them. You know, he doesn't have a whole lot of experience, but, you know, he works hard, he's smart, he's getting better, so, you know, we'll see how it goes here. How much we can build on tonight and the previous practices, and, you know, see how much he improves going forward. Mulligan on that one.
Starting Ryan Mallett instead of Brian Hoyer, was that just a chance to see Ryan against?
No, it wasn't. They played equally, so I think they probably played against the same players with the same players. Yeah, I mean, we got a lot of guys playing out there, so I can't. It'd be hard for me to, you know, critique any individual player tonight. But it's always good to see him, you know, step up and catch the ball. Sure. Yeah, same thing. I mean, I can't. Trying to watch a lot of guys out there. We'll go back and watch the film tomorrow morning, and then players come in tomorrow afternoon, and we'll take a look at it. I mean, I'm sure there were some good things. I'm sure there's other things that could have, you know, we could have done better, all of us, you know, every player, every coach included. So that's, you know, it's what preseason's for. That's what practice is for, and we'll try to critique all of our mistakes and correct them moving forward. So we're all in that category, players, coaches, you know, everybody. Some player, you know, you can't play all the players in the game anyway. So we played some players more this week. We'll play other players more in other games. Some players didn't play tonight because of injury or personal situations. A couple other players didn't play. So, it's a factor. I don't know. I couldn't give you a percentage or anything, but, you know, we take everything into consideration, try to do what's best for the team. I think every game is, you know, an opportunity, and we can't control what anybody else does. We can only control what we do, so that's what we do. We practice and prepare and try to get the players ready who are going to play in that particular game or we think are going to play, and then I know we do what we do. You know, we can't really control what our opponents do, who they play, what they play, what they call. You know, we can't worry about that. Okay, anything else? All right, thank you.
Nope, that's all, Bill. Patriots head coach Bill Belichick from the podium earlier tonight following his team's 27-17 loss to the Philadelphia Eagles week 2 of the preseason. And again, quick turnaround. They got Tampa on Friday. A few takeaways, and let's pick up where Belichick left off. You know, getting the questions about how he'll approach things. Whatever, I told you, I don't have a problem. You know, maybe you'd like to see the guys a little bit in this game, but we talked about it a ton on the Patriots pregame social. And there were signs throughout the course of the week that these guys weren't going to play a ton, if at all, in the game tonight. So if you're following along, you can see the writing on the wall here. And they should play a lot in week three of the preseason. If they don't, then I think you got a legitimate gripe. But I expect those guys to play quite a bit in week three of the preseason against Tampa on Friday. Similar to how much the guys on the Eagles played tonight. Again, into the second half, I would expect that on Friday night. I thought Belichick's answer was interesting on, he was basically asked directly about why Mallett started. And he said, well, you know, we can't make any evaluations here. Both guys played the same amount. But remember, Mallett started each half. Like, Ryan Mallett started the game, came out, I believe on the fourth drive, Hoyer came in and started things for the Patriots. And it was the fourth drive. So Hoyer played four drives, but one was a knee right before halftime in the first half. And then Mallett came back out for the second half. And I wonder why Belichick did it. Is it to get Mallett starting just to let him know, hey, you're going to start the game? And who knows when they sprung the question on him? Who knows when they told him? Is it to get him working with slightly better personnel? Has he just passed by Brian Hoyer on the depth chart? I think the third is the least likely. And maybe they just wanted to get a good look at him against what they could guarantee would be the first team defense from the Eagles. Maybe they didn't know how much those guys were going to play. So I think it's a lot of those factors. I don't believe that Mallett has skipped by Brian Hoyer on the depth chart. He certainly outplayed him tonight. I think you could even make a case he outplayed him in week one, though I thought both were bad in week one of the preseason. But I just think the Patriots know what they have in Brian Hoyer. This is something we discussed on the pregame show as well. I believe it was Paul who was sitting on this. You know what you have in Hoyer. He's somewhat of a known commodity. So start Mallett. See what you got. I think that's what the Patriots were doing tonight. Especially, again, guaranteeing that you can go against the Eagles' first team defense. By the way, something I haven't even touched on, and it's similar. Stephen Ridley started the second half, which blew me away. I didn't expect to see him on the football field tonight. He was dinged up in practice throughout the week. I didn't expect to see him possibly until Friday. I didn't even know how much he'd play in these joint practices. He started the second half. So it seems like Belichick has changed course from week one of the preseason, where Ridley and a variety of guys, Woodhead, Bolden, played the first half against New Orleans. Vereen played the second half. This week it was Vereen in the first half, Ridley in the second half. I'm not sure why the Patriots would go with that. And by the way, we saw some backfield sets with both Ridley and Vereen out there in the second half. I'm not sure why they'd hold Ridley off until the second half in this one, because I thought he looked great in week one of the preseason. I thought he looked better than Vereen to me. Vereen's the one who got a lot of the headlines, but I thought Ridley ran well against first-team defense and better players in the first game. So I thought it was curious they held him out for the second half. Maybe it's just, again, to get Vereen a start against what you know is a first-team defense to evaluate him. A few other things. Belichick touched on the short week. He's done that throughout the course of this week. And look, he got tired of the questions. You heard him there basically saying, well, yeah, it inhibits what we do over the course of the week. And that's why they're holding these guys off till the joint practices. And he also didn't bite on the question about the lack of protection for the quarterbacks on the offensive line. You know, similar to how Alex Silvestro didn't bite on a few of my questions, the Pat Chung one, the are you more of a Gronkowski or a Hernandez, Belichick wasn't biting on that thing with the protection for the offensive line. Clearly, it's an ongoing storyline with this Patriots team. Can't protect the quarterback. That's not going to be a good scenario for the Patriots. Now, look, just got Mankins back this week. You expect to get Vollmer back. I believe Brian Waters will be back by the time week one rolls around. So I'm still not overly concerned about the offensive line. And Marcus Cannon I go back and forth on because he's been horrendous in these preseason games, but I don't expect him to be a starting offensive lineman for you at any point this season, barring injury. So I'm less concerned about it, but he's been awful in these games. Solder's the one that I think, if you're concerned and you want to point to the O-line and say, well, here's your issue, that's the one that I'll give you some leeway on. And he did not look great again tonight. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. Adam Jones here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on patriots.com. Let's get back to the emails here. Brandon writes into webradio@patriots.com. Adam, first off, can't really look much into this game since hardly any of the starters were out there. But I thought Chandler Jones was doing too much movement instead of trying to get to the quarterback. Now, I'll interject here before we get to the rest of the email. I didn't think Jones was out there much. And I guess I'd have to go back, but it couldn't have been more than three drives, maybe four drives. I know he was out there on the first two. That's when a lot of the Patriots starters were out there defensively. After that, I stopped noticing starters. Now, I don't have exact snaps for Chandler Jones out there, but I bet he wasn't out there beyond three drives. Four tops. And to me, if he's only out there for a couple of drives and he gets a pressure on the quarterback, granted, it was still on a completion for Nick Foles, but he was bearing down on Foles before he dumped off to his running back. I don't know, I thought Jones looked okay again. Not in the way he announced his presence in week one against the Saints, where he got those back-to-back holds on Jermaine Bushrod and also had a couple other pressures. But I thought he looked good again in this one.
Breaking news, Jones, on the tweet box.
Yeah, what is it?
Chandler Jones is sleepy.
Chandler Jones is what?
He's tweeting that he's very sleepy.
Oh, he just tweeted that out. I don't follow him.
That's all right.
The only
he's
Patriot,
not big enough for you.
The
huh?
only Patriot I follow, this is true. The only Patriot I follow, Ross Ventrone. It's the only one. It's the only one I care about.
Well, I could commiserate with his, you know.
He's sleepy. So. Look, I think a lot of these Patriots fans are as well.
It's a little after midnight here in the East for those of you listening in different time zones.
I'm not sure that most Patriots made it all the way through, or most Patriots fans rather made it all the way through that game tonight. But we appreciate your feedback here on the Sun Life Patriots post game show. Working our way through the rest of this email from Brandon. Also, he writes on Rozai Dowling and Dante Stallworth. I thought they struggled a lot in this game. Stallworth just couldn't beat his corner, and it was like a blanket was all over him. I agree. Like, Dante Stallworth, to me, this was not his night. And I don't necessarily mean because of anything he did. Like, he was targeted a few times. I don't know if they were poor throws. I don't know if it's because he couldn't create enough separation. I guess I'd have to go back and watch the tape. But for me, there was a lot of missed opportunities, or a lot of misconnections is probably the better way of putting it, between Dante Stallworth and his quarterbacks. He was targeted six times and only came up with one catch. It's not a good ratio. But the bigger thing for me, that if I'm Dante Stallworth, I'm feeling worse and worse about a roster spot, is the way Deion Branch played tonight. I thought he was great. Three catches on four targets, including a couple of huge third down conversions. Picked up 17 yards on one third down, 20 on another. You know, for me, I thought he played well in this game tonight. He was on my good list earlier on tonight. And Brandon concludes with Rozai Dowling, who we've already touched on here. He kept getting beat, even by second-string wide receivers. Again, I didn't think he had as bad of a night as Sterling Moore. I didn't think either of the corners played great. But I didn't think he was as bad as the corner opposite him. And maybe Moore's expected out of Rozai Dowling, but Moore's the one that stood out to me tonight. By the way, I wanted to get to this as well. Bill Belichick touched a little bit on Nate Ebner. Tom Curran asked him a question, the nose for the football, and Belichick gave his standard, well, some good, some bad, we got to go back and watch it. In this case, I think it was true, and I meant to touch on this earlier when I talked about Ebner, and I just neglected to do it. We talked about the interception, which was a lovely play by Nate Ebner, and showed off the ball skills we've been hearing about at the training camp practices. But there was also one play. It was Jason Avant, 22-yard catch, and I didn't write down the down. I should have. But it was on the drive right before halftime for the Eagles. Actually, right before Nate Ebner had the interception, just a handful of plays before it. Avant comes down with a 22-yard catch, and he got behind Bobby Carpenter, but it was in front of Nate Ebner, the safety, coming over too late. And this is a play I harped on quite a bit week one of the preseason. Remember the play I was talking about where Chung got over much too late, and it was Sterling Moore underneath. This time it was a linebacker and Nate Ebner combination. So I thought it was some good and some bad for Nate Ebner. I just thought the good outweighed the bad in this one. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. It's how you get in touch with the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You've already heard from the Patriots head coach following the Pats' 27-17 loss to the Philadelphia Eagles week two of the preseason. You'll hear from their stand-in quarterback, Ryan Mallett, next here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show on patriots.com.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo sacks at Gerard Mayo speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Right now, we're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. You can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. With tickets to all the games, home and away, for all your favorite Boston teams, Ace Ticket has the best seats at the lowest prices, always. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com from any device.
Pats fans, here's your chance to experience the ultimate road trip. Enter the Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle for a chance to travel in style with the Patriots to an away game. The grand prize includes seats on the team plane, a room in the team hotel, a pair of tickets to the game, access to the field on game day, and much more. Proceeds from the raffle will benefit the Patriots Charitable Foundation. Buy your Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle tickets today by logging on to www.patriots.com.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder wait list and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank of AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Shotgun formation for Mallett. Direct snap to throw. Looks to the end zone. Fires to the right. To the caught. Touchdown, Alex Silvestro. Nice job by Mallett. He threw it where only Alex Silvestro could catch it, zone.
Patriots fall to the Eagles 27-17 here in Foxborough, week two of the preseason. Just heard the call there of one of the Patriots' touchdowns, courtesy of the Patriots Radio Network. Alex Silvestro caught the pass. We actually spoke to him earlier here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com.
It's the Alex Silvestro show.
You'll hear from the man who threw that pass momentarily here, Patriots quarterback Ryan Mallett, who spoke at the podium earlier tonight. But want to continue getting out a few thoughts here on this Patriots loss to the Eagles. And again, by the way, not taking the loss too hard. I don't think there's a lot to get worked up about in this one in a negative light. And that's what I said off the top of the program. And trust me, I'm willing to hammer away at the Pats in this one, but you're talking about their second stringers going against the Eagles' first team. And they had an 11-0 lead, and it was 14-14 at halftime. I don't think there's an awful lot to get worked up about. By the way, speaking about worked up, and I haven't touched on this at all, you see the highlights of this, Kevin? Because I know you're down on the sidelines, and I don't think you have a chance to see it. But Andy Reid and Colin Jenkins had to be separated on the sidelines?
As it was happening, I heard in my ear that it was happening, but I couldn't see it all the way across the field because obviously I'm on our sideline. So I missed that.
I saw the highlights at halftime. I haven't heard it. I haven't heard any of the commentary on it, but I'm starting to see it on a few different blogs
But I heard, though, that ESPN zoomed right in on it.
They did.
Not bashful.
I saw it in the press box, but it's muted. So, and I'm just, like I said, I'm perusing around a few different blogs. And I saw that those two had to be separated. And, you wonder.
Steel cage match.
Because,
two big boys,
the Eagles responded relatively well defensively after that. You're talking about only giving up a field goal after that point. So, I wonder if that was a turning point for them in this game. And look, if it was a regular season game, maybe we'd spend a little bit more time on it. Working our way through a few other things here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com. And by the way, Sun Life Financial can help you protect your financial security, whether you're in the game or sidelined with an illness or injury. Talk to your employer about Sun Life benefits or visit sunlifeknowsbenefits.com to learn more. Get the benefit. Get to know sunlife.com. One of the things that I'm curious about with the Patriots is what Jeff Dempse can add to this team. And not that we saw that tonight, but you saw how the Patriots struggled a little bit in special teams, or at least in their return game tonight. You saw Julian Edelman fumble a punt right on the opening drive. And that's not one that I really hit on here. Check that, the second drive for the Patriots, muffed a punt. Brandon Bolden, I thought, was a much more costly one. He lost possession. Edelman was able to hang on. You wonder if Jeff Dempse is going to add anything. I know he hasn't returned punts, so maybe that's asking too much. But it just got me thinking about the return game for the New England Patriots and what Jeff Dempse can add. And I wonder if we see any of that on Thursday. And if not, do we see it the following Wednesday, or Friday and Wednesday, rather? Do we see any of that out of Jeff Dempse in the preseason? What type of shape is he in? These are things looking ahead that I'm curious about. And the Patriots' struggles in their return game tonight at least got me thinking about it, because a couple of muff punts, and the Bolden one was, I thought, a significant blow to this team. If that's a regular season game, you're talking about that as a major, major miscue. Just forking over short field. Patriots were up 11-0 at that point. They're getting the ball back, and instead you hand a short field 24 yards to the Eagles. It's inexcusable. And I just wonder what he can add for the Patriots in the return game, whether it's punts or more likely kickoffs. And that's something that bears watching here over the rest of the week once the Patriots begin joint practices down in Tampa with the Buccaneers. They'll get going Wednesday and Thursday as the Patriots fly out of here tomorrow to meet up with the Buccaneers for a game on Friday night. You can give us a call here, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. It's Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on patriots.com. Let's head back to the podium, where earlier tonight, Patriots stand-in quarterback Ryan Mallett spoke following a 27-17 loss to the Eagles.
This is a good day, right?
That was really your first.
Hey, like you said, I haven't looked at the film yet. Felt pretty good getting in there, getting in a little rhythm. But like Coach says, we got to go look at the film and evaluate ourselves. I always have high expectations, so I grade pretty hard, but we'll go look at it and see what to improve on.
How comfortable did you feel?
It felt good. I mean, it felt good just to get back out there again after, the last game has been like 10 days, so it's good to get out there and play again.
What do you feel is the biggest difference?
I know a little bit more of what's going on. Last year I didn't have a very good base. Now I have a pretty good foundation that I can keep working to build on, and that's what I'm doing every day, is try to build on that foundation.
A lot of players in their second year talk about helmets.
I'm getting more comfortable every time I go out there. At least I feel like that. It might not look like it, but it feels like it. So, like I said, I'm just going to build on the day and try to get better tomorrow.
Talk about the touchdown pass
Alex did a good job of getting open. I was looking over there to begin with, and, you know, he beat the linebacker in the corner left, so I gave him a ball, and he made me look good.
Can you talk about working with some of the guys that haven't seen a lot of action?
One more time? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you all.
26 of the starters were not dressed today. Talk about being able to play.
You know, that's part of it. You get into a game in the fourth quarter, somebody might go down, and somebody's got to step in that might not have been in there the whole week of practice. So it's just part of the game. You just got to get in there and trust your guys. And I think we did a good job of that tonight. And, you know, just go out there and do our job.
Were you surprised at how many penalties the Eagles committed allowed you guys to continue?
No, I wouldn't keep a count. I don't know. There's a few, I think.
Yeah.
A few.
Didn't surprise you at all? I mean, it was mostly their first team guys.
You know, I haven't seen them practice, so I don't know. You know, they might practice it. All right. Thank you.
All right. That was Patriots quarterback Ryan Mallett filling in tonight. I thought pretty admirably for Tom Brady in this one. I thought he played well. You know, 10 of 20 for just over 100 yards. And maybe well is too strong, but at least there was progress tonight out of Ryan Mallett going against a legit defense. Without his top weapons. I don't know. I thought there were some signs there, and there weren't any after week one against the Saints. Meanwhile, Brian Hoyer, at the very least, stayed on the same level he was week one of the preseason, which is not a compliment, and maybe even took a step back. So I don't know. I'm not saying Ryan Mallett has leapfrogged Brian Hoyer because of one preseason performance, because I don't believe that, but I'm saying let's see. Let's see how these guys shake out for the rest of the preseason. Because if Mallett outplays him in the next couple games, I don't think it's inconceivable that he would be the number two quarterback on the depth chart. I don't think it's there yet, but he clearly outplayed Brian Hoyer tonight. I don't even think it's much of a debate. Checking the emails here to webradio@patriots.com. That's where Nicholas writes in. Adam, Mallett was good for him, which I guess is a compliment. Hoyer was terrible and could have lost his job tonight. People slagging Mallett didn't see his obvious improvement. Again, Mallett was so bad last week, that I guess there wasn't much else to go or much other place to go but up for Ryan Mallett tonight. But I did think he was pretty good. And this is just sort of how I felt about it. And what sort of underscored his performance tonight for me was the touchdown pass to Alex Silvestro. And I said earlier, that's an obvious play to go to, right? Like, it's the one time the Patriots got in the end zone tonight, besides the Shane Vereen two-point conversion. Everything else was field goals, right? So that's an obvious throw to go to. But I didn't focus on how he threw the ball, you know, or that's not what I'm choosing to focus on for why I thought that was a nice play and showed some maturity or at least some improvement from Ryan Mallett. I thought the way he stepped up in the pocket, like, he was under pressure. The O-line didn't do a good job protecting him on that play or really at any point tonight. And I thought the pocket presence was better from Ryan Mallett. I thought his awareness in the pocket was better. His composure in the pocket was better. All those things. And I don't know. I put stock in those kind of things. He looked more comfortable tonight. And who knows? Maybe it was getting the start. Maybe he's not, I don't know, looking over his shoulders the right term. But maybe that vote of confidence is something that he needed, where he wasn't going out there thinking his way through every single throw. You know, maybe he went out there and just slung it to an extent. And look, there were bad throws from Mallett. I don't want to make it sound like he had a perfect night or anything like that, and we can work our way through some of them. You know, he missed Branch on a 3rd and 11 on the opening drive. He missed Stallworth in the flat, and Dominic Rogers-Cromartie broke that thing up, right? That was the second drive, and Cromartie left the game, by the way. The third drive, where the Patriots scored, and I actually thought Mallett had a couple of okay throws. Remember how that drive started? It was just a terrible throw on the sidelines, right, where he's looking to Ebert, and there should have been an interception for the Philadelphia Eagles. But there was a roughing penalty and a questionable one on Fletcher Cox, but it was Dominic Rogers-Cromartie who came up with an interception, and it was overturned. And a few plays before that, Marcus Cannon was beaten, which pressured Mallett into an awful throw. Like, he pump faked a couple of times and just made an awful throw. But later on in the third drive, I thought he settled down. Had a 20-yard pass to Branch on 3rd and 4. Had a 20-yard screen pass to Shane Vereen on 3rd and 9. And then a touchdown pass to Alex Silvestro. So maybe that third drive is just a spot to go look for or a spot to look to for Ryan Mallett tonight, maybe as a microcosm for his night. Because I thought it was a mixed bag from Mallett, but it was certainly better. And it was certainly better, not just for him, but better than what Brian Hoyer showed tonight. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. That's where Jonathan in Florida writes in. Adam, which play had a more positive impact in regards to their playing time going forward? Nate Ebner's interception to end the first half or Jermaine Cunningham's hit to end Vic's night? Well, that's an interesting question. Now, I'll tell you, with Ebner, and I don't think he's going to be a starting safety for you or anything like that, but Ebner should have an opportunity, right? Just given the injury situation right now at safety. Tavon Wilson, dinged up this week at practice. Patrick Chung, forced to leave this game with a shoulder injury. And it's not like he's been healthy in the past. So I just think there's an opportunity at safety. It's why I was so high in the preseason, back in mini camps and training camps and everything on Tavon Wilson before we got to look at these guys in a game setting. I was high on Tavon Wilson just because I believe there's an opportunity at safety. So I sort of feel that way, though I'm not as high on Ebner as I was on Wilson or am on Wilson. I sort of feel that way. Like, you know, that's a position where the Patriots could use some help. That said, I don't know, Jermaine Cunningham is flashing and he's in that rotation at defensive end. Now, he finished off Mike Vick in the game tonight, but I said this earlier tonight, and I feel like most people following the game and watching this thing closely know that it was Kyle Love who started that thing. Like, Love's the guy who flushed Vick out of the pocket and chased him right into the waiting arms of Jermaine Cunningham. But I just think Cunningham is in that mix on the outside. And Ninkovich didn't start tonight. Cunningham started over Ninkovich in this one. He's another one of the guys who was held out, Rob Ninkovich. But it was Chandler Jones and Jermaine Cunningham. And you know what? I think Jermaine Cunningham still deserves an opportunity on this team. You know, I think he still deserves an opportunity as a guy who played an awful lot as a second-round pick in year one, was on the field a ton, didn't necessarily put up big stats, but was on the field a ton, and then was invisible last year. But with this scheme shift to more of a 4-3, he should be able to play. It's what he played in college. Should be able to pin his ears back instead of worrying about playing in space and his drops and transitioning to a linebacker. So I don't know. If you're going to pin me down, who helped his cause more tonight, Jermaine Cunningham or Nate Ebner? I'd go with Nate Ebner just because I feel like Ebner at least made his play. Cunningham needed help from Kyle Love. Kevin, I see you nodding back there. Who helped themselves more tonight, Nate Ebner or Jermaine Cunningham? I think it's a good question.
I think it's Cunningham. I don't know. Ebner, I don't know. I don't know what I see in him. What position, first of all, when you're talking about when we're going through as the, quote, starters when they come back, what position do you think the Patriots need the more help in?
Well, I think safety is a spot where they're going to need help. You know,
really?
Chung, well, yes. I mean, Chung is never healthy, and he's dinged up in this one tonight.
But I think
Wilson's not healthy right now.
But I think
Steve Gregory is better suited to sub packages.
That's what I was going
to
say.
It looks like the Patriots disagree.
Yeah.
Because they have him out there starting.
Yeah.
And right now, he might be your glue guy back there
I think he is.
So I'm not saying I want Nate Ebner starting or anything like that. I just think there are opportunities at safety. That's all.
Would you not agree with the Chung Gregory? Like, if the season started tomorrow, those are going to be your guys?
Oh, I completely agree. Yeah. But Chung's hurt. Chung left the game tonight.
No, I know. I think Chung, I mean, he's missed time. He missed more time last year. But I just think that he plays through a lot of stuff. I don't know. I'm just more hopeful, I guess, for Jermaine Cunningham.
Well, that's fair. And look, I think Cunningham's clearly in the mix. Like,
yeah, I just think
he's there. Like, it's Ninkovich. It's Ninkovich and Chandler Jones. And then it's like, he's right. He's the next guy, right? It's him or Trevor Scott.
And I guess
my
answer may be, you know, I may be answering the wrong question, Adam, because I want him to have a role on this team. I think it's very important that he's there. Not only for depth, but he's got to make a play every once in a while. I mean, they need guys in that spot to make plays.
Yeah. And look, that's how I felt about him coming out. I didn't love the pick just because he wasn't productive in college.
No, I agree.
But
I didn't love it either.
But look, we want to see some production from him. Again, if you're asking me who helped themselves more tonight, Part of it is because I think there's more opportunity at safety, but also like Ebner made his play. Like Ebner made the interception.
He did.
Like Cunningham finished off Vic.
Yeah.
But it was Kyle Love who made the play.
Yeah, no. So I see where you're going.
I guess I don't know. I just believe the coaches probably would believe that Nate Ebner helped his case a little bit more than, you know, Jermaine Cunningham did. And that's just conjecture. You know, a hypothesis of mine here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show, Adam Jones, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call, 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Checking in here, this person calls themselves Emace, writing in, Adam, I'm a Patriots fan in Texas. So much about Branch being on the bubble with so many receivers competing. I agree with you. Stallworth didn't look too good, and Branch did tonight. What are your thoughts? And we'll pick up the rest of the email here momentarily. I've never thought Branch was in jeopardy. Like, I've never felt that way.
Now, I didn't either.
I don't feel as strong, and I didn't realize Paul and Andy felt this way because we were talking about it on the pregame social. They both think he has a spot over Jabbar Gaffney. Now, I don't necessarily think that. But I've been pretty bullish on Deion Branch making this team, and I thought tonight he played excellent.
Yeah.
In big spots, too, like third down conversions when you need him. And it wasn't even with Brady. You know, it's not like that crazy symbiotic relationship that those two had. This is with Mallett and Brian Hoyer. These are with backup quarterbacks. I thought he helped himself a lot. I think he's on the team, and I've never had Stallworth on the team at any point.
Okay.
No, and look, I like him. We had him on our show quite a bit.
We had him on PFW as well.
You know, and he's a good guy, and he's a likable guy, and I thought he was pretty good when he was here last time around. But there's never been a time where I've had him on the roster. You know, because I think if you're playing the numbers game with the Patriots, and this is how you have to look at it, how many guys are they going to keep at tight end? Three? It seems like three now with Daniel Fells being activated from PUP. You know Gronkowski and Hernandez are on the thing, so call it three. Can you afford to keep three tight ends and seven wide receivers? That's a tough one for me, and I just don't see why you'd do it. Now, Matt Slater isn't truly a wide receiver, so I guess you could repurpose him in another position if you wanted to. You could even say, you know, Julian Edelman, how much is he really helping you?
Yeah.
In the offense, you know, and I'd give you that too. Like, really, he's more of a special teams contributor than he is offensively, but at least he's actually a wide receiver.
Yeah, but his problem is, and Paul Perillo has chronicled this through the last couple of years, he gets maybe two or three chances, if that, a game where he'll come in and line up as a wide receiver. And every once in a while, he'll get a ball thrown his way, and it just looks like he isn't ready. He has trouble coming in cold. And that's why I think you see him excel in a lot of these preseason games, because he's in the game.
He's in
the game for multiple series. You know, it's like when you and I are playing basketball, you know? You can't just come in for 30-second spurts. You got to be out there for 3 or 4 minutes to get a sweat on, right?
I wish my high school coach was listening. Coach, you can't just put me in for 30 seconds at a time, all right? You got to leave me out there.
You got to
give me some burn.
But so Edelman has, I think, had chances, you know, to be a flash in the pan.
My bigger point is, I think it's somewhat of a numbers game at wide receiver. I think Edelman's on the team. Slater's on the team. I don't know. I think it's
Slater's
a no-brainer that Welker and Lloyd are on the team. I think Gaffney and Branch are on the team. So for me, Stallworth is out. Now, maybe you go lighter at running back, but with the addition of Demps, I see you keeping at least five. And who knows if you're going to keep a fullback as well. And one guy I don't think is on solid footing, and this is something I can't remember if it was a caller who brought it up or was it you who brought it up. Danny Woodhead off the team.
That was definitely.
So I was talking about this with somebody before the game. Oh, it was LePan. LePan is on this Woodhead won't make the team thing. Now,
really?
I'm not saying it's that strong.
Okay.
But, and I guess I'd at least like to see Jeff Demps in a game. But is it crazy that 1.57 running back who contributes on special teams would make it over the other? Like,
no.
To me, like, I don't think Danny Woodhead is a lock on this roster. I like him. But, you know, I think if Jeff Demps can beat him out and you want to keep a fullback, and I still think there's a reason the Patriots had all these fullbacks in there, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason they brought these guys into camp. And I still think that Spencer Larson, if he ever gets healthy, is the guy. McDaniels likes him. He contributes all over the roster, right? Offensively, defensively. So he just, to me, seems like a Patriots kind of guy. Now, if he's not healthy, that's one thing. But if you can get him healthy and you can get him out there, I think the Patriots would like to keep him.
We need the fullbacks for those 2-point conversions.
He's a name to file away. And look, I got this question during the pregame show, actually. I never got to it. But it was Rich writing into web radio at patriots.com or excuse me, tweeting at me, Adam Jones, ESPN, at Adam Jones, ESPN. What are the chances Catani makes this squad? Is he out? Yeah, I think he's out. Like, maybe he's on the practice squad if he's even still eligible. But I don't see him making the 53, man. There's no way. I do think the Patriots, if they had their druthers, would keep a fullback. There's a reason they did this whole thing with the fullbacks in the preseason. But I don't think it'd be Catani. Also, finishing up that email from East Mace, E-Mace. I think Belichick will find a spot on special teams for Stallworth so that he can still play receiver and keep Branch one more year. I agree with you on the importance of this game. Just another preseason to evaluate the loss means nothing. I didn't say there's nothing you could take away. I did not say that. I just said that there's not a lot to get worked up over negatively. Like,
no.
You can't be throwing your controller watching this game when you have backups going against another team's ones.
I agree.
You know, so that was all I was trying to say. I'm not saying there's nothing you can take away. Cannon looked awful. I thought Mallett looked better. You know, Vereen, in his opportunities in the first half, didn't look good. And this is a week after everybody was, you know, tooting the horn of Shane Vereen. You know, I thought Deion Branch looked good. So there are takeaways you can have. I'm just saying, like, I wouldn't be sitting there frustrated that the Patriots lost this game. I wouldn't be getting worked up over it because it was backups going against starters. That was all I was trying to say. But there are definitely things you can take away from this game. And there are things you can take away from every single preseason game. You know, outside of maybe the fourth week of the preseason, there are things you can take away. 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Let's continue to work our way through some of these emails here. Kareem writes in, Adam, with the offensive line showing some highs along with many lows, do you think having Vollmer and Mankins will fix their constant problems, or will they still show some signs even if Waters returns? Now, look, I want to get this out there. Somebody asked me in the press box before the game, all right, out of the following three guys, Mankins, Vollmer, Waters, how many start opening night? And I said all three. Like, I expect all three of those guys to start. And I don't know, we saw Waters do it last year. He wasn't here for any of training camp, showed up leading up to week one and basically played the whole game and was a Pro Bowler. So I don't know. I believe he can do it again. I don't have any inside information on that. I just believe he'll be there week one. And Mankins is back. He should be fine. And Vollmer just got activated off PUP. So I don't think either of those two guys are a stretch. Really, the only question in my mind is Waters. Now, the guy that I thought was a no-brainer, and or I shouldn't say no-brainer, but someone you didn't have to worry about, was Solder. And reading the tweets tonight, following other people's opinions, and look, he didn't stand out a ton in my own notes. Like, I didn't have a lot of points where I wrote down that Solder got beat.
I think, you know, a guy like Solder, as Andy would say, not sold.
The only guy that, or the only play I can think of off the top of my head, and I didn't even write it down, but I know he got beat on the play, was the strip sack with Cannon, where Cannon's guy came in and stripped it away from Brian Hoyer. That's the only one. Philip Hunt beat out Cannon off the corner, and Solder got beat the other side. That's the only time I can remember him getting beat. And again, I didn't jot him down, so maybe I missed it. Maybe I was too busy watching Cannon be a revolving door on the right side. But, you know, just monitoring Twitter and monitoring other people's thoughts, he didn't have a strong night. And I'll defer. You know, the Andy Harts and Mike Reese's of the world, I'll defer. But at least in my own notes, I didn't think he stood out in as bad of a way, but he was awful the first preseason game. So if you're asking me about the offensive line, I'm still pretty confident that they'll be fine. If you're telling me it's Mankins, whomever at safety, center rather, Waters at right guard, and Vollmer at right tackle, and I think those will be the guys, I feel pretty comfortable about those spots. And guess what? Even if it's not Waters, and you got to go Copen, Connolly, or Wendell, Connolly, and by the way, Wendell started tonight, not Copen. I'm still okay with that. Left tackle's one that I'll give you right now. That's a bigger question mark than I anticipated. Going into the preseason, going into training camp, and even being on the eve of the regular season here, that's one that we're going to be watching a lot on Friday night because it hasn't been strong thus far. And that's one that I sort of had in my check column leading into the season, and it's been anything but. It's the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can call us, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us, webradio@patriots.com. You can continue to get in touch with the Sun Life Patriots postgame show there. Also, want to get to a few NFL news and notes as they relate to the New England Patriots. A big news day today in the NFL. Some of it does relate to the Patriots. We'll get to all of that next here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show on patriots.com.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Jerod Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Jerod Mayo sacks at Jerod Mayo speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Right now, we're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. You can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. With tickets to all the games, home and away, for all your favorite Boston teams, Ace Ticket has the best seats at the lowest prices, always. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com from any device.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Pats fans, here's your chance to experience the ultimate road trip. Enter the Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle for a chance to travel in style with the Patriots to an away game. The grand prize includes seats on the team plane, a room in the team hotel, a pair of tickets to the game, access to the field on game day, and much more. Proceeds from the raffle will benefit the Patriots Charitable Foundation. Buy your Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle tickets today by logging on to www.patriots.com. Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder wait list and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
A 55-yard field goal attempt for Gostowski. On the near hash mark, angle to his right, Mesko to hold, Akins to snap. 55-yard field goal attempt for Gostowski. The ball is down, the kick is up, the kick is on the way, and the kick is good from 55 yards for Steven Gostowski. Nice job.
You know what? It's another Patriot who had a good night tonight. Steven Gostowski with three field goals. two of which were beyond 50 yards, 55-yarder from Stephen Gostkowski, as you just heard there on the Patriots Radio Network, also a 51-yarder for the Patriots. So, I don't know, good night for Stephen Gostkowski as well, and it's something that I haven't exactly hit on tonight, but a decent night for him. Sun Life Patriots postgame show, Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. Going for another 25 minutes or so here. Talking about the Patriots. Week 2 of the preseason loss to the Eagles, 27-17, here at Gillette Stadium. Couple of ways for you to get in touch with the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. You can give us a call, 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Your emails go to webradio at patriots.com. Look, we've been talking a little bit about the roster and, you know, who helped themselves, who helped their cause tonight. And it's an obvious thing to look at over the course of the preseason. Wanted to get to a tweet here from Ryan. Tweeted at me, at Adam Jones, ESPN. And Ryan tweets in, who's this year's surprise cut? I think, and I could be wrong, the Patriots cut Sam Aiken a few years back. So I don't think Slater is a lock to make this team. I understand where he's coming from, and I appreciate the outside-the-box thinking. And Aiken, remember, was a core special teamer, as you know, Ryan points out. But I just don't see them cutting Slater. They drafted him. He was a Pro Bowler last year. And I just think they value him on this team. They just signed him to an extension. So I know Aiken was a captain. I just think it's a different spot in their career, different point in their career. I would expect Matt Slater to be on the team. However, answering the question, you know, a roster lock or, you know, someone who a lot of people assume should be on the team who won't make it, I don't think Woodhead's a crazy one. I don't think he's a crazy one to miss out on the team. It depends on what we see out of Demps, but I don't think he's a crazy one. I don't think Copen's a crazy one. You know, Dan Copen right now didn't start tonight. Ryan Wendell did. You know that Connolly can step in at center, and even Nick McDonald, we saw it last year. So do you need Dan Copen? I understand he's been great for you for going on a decade, and Brady loves him, but I don't really see a need for him on this team, to be honest. I think you can get more value out of other areas on the roster and other guys on the offensive line. So I don't think he's a crazy one. And this one, to a lesser extent, I don't see Stallworth making the team. And, you know, I've seen a lot of people say, including the two guys I worked the pregame show with, say they expect him on the team. And I just I don't think that's one that is too crazy for me. But I hear a lot of people sticking him on the team, and I wouldn't be surprised in the least if he got cut. So there's a few names, people to keep an eye on, who maybe some have on the roster, who I can see not having a spot on this team. I mentioned that we'll get to some stories from around the NFL, because I do think there's a few that impact the Patriots, and one is obvious. It's Jake Locker being named the starter in Tennessee. That's who the Patriots open up against. And I think you can see the writing on the wall here. And Locker, by the way, was bad, like downright bad, in week 2 of the preseason. He was pretty good in his first one, bad in the second one. So I'm a little surprised the Titans would announce this today. But they elect to go with Jake Locker as their starting quarterback. And I said in the pregame show, and not that this works perfectly, but Jake Locker is one of these mobile quarterbacks. You know, he's a different build than Michael Vick. And I don't think he has the pure speed or acceleration of Michael Vick. But he's a big, mobile, athletic quarterback. And I think the Patriots got a taste of an athletic, mobile quarterback tonight, albeit for a series and a half before they knocked him out. But I think that story bears watching. And by the way, I think the Titans made the right decision. I'm surprised they didn't use him more last year. You know, you look at young quarterbacks throughout the NFL, the trend more and more is to throw guys into the fire. You know, not a lot of teams are doing what the Packers did with Aaron Rodgers. If you look at some of these guys, some of these young quarterbacks, first rounders, and even second rounders, just go to last year. Cam Newton, 16 starts. Andy Dalton, 16 starts. You know, Newton had a record-breaking year as a rookie. Dalton made the Pro Bowl and the playoffs. You know, Gabbert started a ton in Jacksonville. Not that he was good, but started a ton. Christian Ponder started 10 games. You know, Locker's the only guy out of those those first five quarterbacks taken last year who didn't see a lot of reps. Year before that, Sam Bradford came in, played every single game. You know, going back a few years before that, Matt Ryan, Joe Flacco came in. They played 16 games as rookies. So it's just the trend in the NFL, and the Titans elected not to do that with Jake Locker. Waiting with him, to me, would be too long. So I'm not surprised they're going back to him, and that's a storyline to monitor with the Patriots. How does Jake Locker play for the rest of the preseason? Because he's now the quarterback you're going to be playing in week one. A similar story going on in Miami. The Dolphins today announced they'll start Ryan Tannehill. And this one to me has a little broader appeal because a lot of you are following Hard Knocks, I would assume, as am I, and I've been drawn in by it. Not just the Ocho stuff, which Patriots fans are automatically going to gravitate to, but also the quarterback. The fight for that job to me is interesting, and it was before they announced it. And honestly, for my own watching purposes, my own viewing purposes, I'm a little disappointed that, you know, they announced it. Like, I'd like to watch a couple more weeks before they come out with the announcement. But that's a Hard Knocks tangent. For the Patriots, this is the guy you're probably going to be going against. And by the way, I applaud the Dolphins for the same reason that I would applaud the Titans for starting Jake Locker. Like, and with Tannehill, it's even more so. He played for Mike Sherman in college. Should, theoretically, have somewhat of a working knowledge of that offense. And guess what? I wasn't super high on him coming out of the draft, but I also didn't draft him. The Dolphins did. He's their guy. I don't have a problem with going to him as your starter in week one. So that's a couple of quarterbacks on the Patriots schedule who were announced today as starters. I think that's newsworthy. The other one, and this is less so, though we got a lot of this on the pregame show, is Sean Merriman being released by the Bills. And there's a monetary element to that from Buffalo. But one, he's no longer up there. So he's not on the team. But what does it tell you about how they view some of the other pass rushers that they have there? Have they been that impressed with Mark Anderson and Mario Williams that, you know, they can just jettison this guy? Also, we had a lot of emails about this on the pregame show. Would the Patriots be interested in bringing him in? And both Andy and Paul shot it down. And, you know, I don't think there's a lot to that either. Doesn't make a lot of sense to bring in a guy like Sean Merriman. I think you have some nice youth that's been getting in there rushing the pass rusher, the quarterback, rather. And if you're asking me, what would I rather try, Sean Merriman or Jermaine Cunningham? I'd rather try Jermaine Cunningham. 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. You want to weigh in on any of those national stories and how they impact the Patriots? I found some of those interesting today throughout the NFL and what was a rather big news day. Blake writes in to webradio@patriots.com. Fellas, heard Brady wasn't at the stadium tonight. Any other news about this? I can't confirm he wasn't at the stadium at all. Now, I don't know if that was said on the broadcast or not. I saw some people tweeting about it. Again, I'm in the press box. Televisions are muted, and we're much removed from the sideline. So I don't know if he wasn't in the stadium at all tonight, but I know that he wasn't on the sideline. And I gave you Mike Reese's theory on this earlier, and I'll reiterate. He went back to 2008 when Brady was hurt. The Patriots, specifically Bill Belichick, didn't want him on the sideline because they didn't want to distract from a media standpoint from what the team was doing. So perhaps that's it, perhaps not. But that's about all I know there. Blake continues. Was happy to see the score the way it was throughout the game for the most part, considering that the Patriots rested everyone. And I agree with that as well. Like, for the most part, this was a competitive game between your backups and the Eagles starters. I'll take that. I'll take it. Blake continues, awesome to see Cunningham pummel Vic. And I would add that, again, Kyle Love started that, but yes, Cunningham should take what he can get right now. I don't think he started the play, but he made the play when it came to him. And that's the least you can ask out of this guy right now. At least he executed that. Ebner's interception and terrible DeSean Jackson stare down after he tackled Ebner like he did something great. I didn't catch the stare down, to be honest, Blake. I just caught the Ebner interception. And Jackson, I know, or whoever tackled Ebner, I know, like, lifted him up in the air and kind of body slammed him down. So maybe that's why DeSean Jackson stared him down. You know, he's got a 2-cent head anyway. We know that about DeSean Jackson. But Ebner's interception was great. Again, I thought it was a mixed bag, but the good outweighed the bad from Nate Ebner. He was a little late getting over there on that Avant completion, 22 yards on the sideline. But some of that was Bobby Carpenter. You know, it was in between those two guys. I think Ebner probably was a little too late getting over. But by and large, for a guy who barely played defense at Ohio State, I don't know. I thought it was promising from him. Excited to get the full-time healthy offensive line unit back together, writes Blake, with the notion of a meaningful game atmosphere going, which should turn out the line in protecting Brady just fine, I'd say. Thanks a lot for the post-game coverage. Thanks for the feedback, Blake, writing into Web Radio at Patriots.com. Yeah, next week, or next game, rather, and Friday night against Tampa Bay, it's big for the O-line. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. It's big for, specifically, Nate Solder. Because, look, I didn't think he stood out in as bad of a way as Marcus Cannon did. And Cannon was terrible, right? Cannon gave up the strip sack to Brian Hoyer. Cannon had a hold. Cannon gave up two other additional pressures, at least, two that I counted. There might have been more. So I thought he was horrendous, but Solder wasn't great. And I'm reading from Field Yates here, ESPNBoston.com. He's passing along some comments from the opposing locker room, the Eagles locker room, on Nate Solder. And here's a few of those comments. We're going to look at it objectively, and we're going to see where we need to go and improve. I'm going to continue to improve my game. That's where I'm going to focus. And that's Philip Hunt talking about the Patriots' offensive line. Daryl Tapp on Nate Solder specifically. He's a good young tackle. He's going to be even better, I think, the more reps he gets. He's an athlete. He can move. Long arms definitely makes it a bit harder to get to the quarterback, but he did a good job. And Tapp almost got to the quarterback on one of the series for the Patriots, and he was asked about that. I was able to get a good jump, and I just attacked him being Solder, Tapp said. I guess I was able to catch him offhand, but he's definitely going to be a player to be reckoned with within this league. He's a big, long guy, somebody you've got to get his hands off of. He's big, probably real strong, said Brandon Graham, who gave Cannon fits on the other side. You just got to stay on your game when you're playing against him. So, high praise coming out of the Eagles locker room. You can make that what you want for the Patriots offensive lineman, specifically Nate Solder. They struggled again tonight, and they're going to be on display Friday night. That's the real game. You know, that's the game for the Patriots. We're going to see these guys in an extended run. And that's one where if the offensive line doesn't look good, you're going to see people in full-on panic mode. And I think you're already seeing it to some extent. By the way, tying in with the offensive line, Greg Bedard of the Boston Globe tweets out, fun fact that may interest only me, Brian Waters still has a locker in the Patriots locker room. Well, that's interests a lot more people than just you, Greg Bedard. I think a lot of people know that. I think he knows that. This is what I'm saying. And Bedard has been staunch. Unwavering is probably the better word. In that he believes Waters is going to be here opening week, and I believe the same thing. You know, he did it last year, and if he could do it last year without a training camp and come in and be a Pro Bowler, I just think he can do it again. And if Bedard's unwavering and he says Brian Waters still has a locker in the Patriots locker room, I don't know, I think that's somewhat noteworthy. I think Mankins, Vollmer, Waters, they're all out there week one when the Patriots roll it out there against the Titans. And as we just talked about, Jake Locker. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. That's where Brandon writes in. Adam, I recorded the game, so I just got done watching the first half of the offense. And only Nate out of 48 snaps. I counted 12 plays where I felt Nate was manhandled a lot on those plays. Had Mallett or Hoyer held onto the ball for less than a second, they would have got hit. But rewatching, I thought he played okay. So he's saying he went back and he watched Nate Solder on the offensive line. And rewatching, he thought he played better than he did initially. I'm telling you, and I guess I'd like to go back and rewatch it. He did not play as poorly, certainly as his offensive line counterpart. Now, that's not saying much, because Cannon was horrendous in this thing. But Solder stood out in a bad way in the first game against the Saints. He did. And to me, tonight, he didn't stand out in a bad way. Like I said, the only play I can even remember where he got beat was the strip sack. And it was Cannon who actually got beat for the sack on the other side. And that's the only other play where he stood out in a bad way to me. And I got to rewatch it, perhaps. But in my notes, while I was watching the game, he didn't stand out to me in a bad way. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can send your emails to webradio@patriots.com. That's where Jonathan writes in. Adam, who was the worst on the O-line tonight, and who was the best? Well, the worst is a no-brainer. Like, the worst I feel like I've been hammering away at for a while. That was Marcus Cannon. Who was the best? It's an interesting question. I think the interior of the offensive line in general has been good for the Patriots. There was a play tonight, and it was Thomas and McDonald, I think. And I remember they just got beat right up the gut and got their guy crushed. And I'm looking through the notes here quickly. I'm trying to remember which quarterback was out there at the moment. But just got him crushed. Other than that, I thought the interior of the offensive line did all right. And it was a sack by Thornton here, right, towards the end of the first half for the Patriots. So Hoyer was in the game. It was McDonald and Thomas on the interior. But by and large, I thought the interior offensive line played pretty well. And I thought they played pretty well in the first game as well. So I don't know how much he stood out tonight specifically, but I think Wendell has been good. And I think Wendell getting the start tonight tells you a little bit about how the Patriots coaching staff views him. You know, and that's why I said, going back a few moments ago, if you're looking for some cuts out of people who maybe aren't presumed as locks but seem to be on the right side of the roster bubble, I don't see what Copen brings at this point. And I love him. He's brought a lot over the last decade. I know Brady loves him. But if Wendell's starting over him and McDonald and Connolly can each shift inside, you have some versatility there. What's the point of Dan Copen? So I guess if you're going to hold me to a guy, somebody I know who has been good throughout the course of training camp and preseason, I'd probably go with Wendell. Continuing with Jonathan's email, who's the best player on defense tonight? Well, that's a good question as well. You know, I thought Kyle Love, for the brief period he was in there, was disruptive. And we've talked about that. That's the play that got Michael Vick knocked out of this thing. Dante Hightower had a nice play on a third and two. Nice pass breakup. You know, Nate Ebner was on my good list tonight as well. But if I'm looking at guys who I thought stood out, it was a brief run, but I thought Kyle Love played pretty well tonight in this game. Better night, writes in Jonathan, who had a multitude of questions here to webradio@patriots.com. Edelman or Ebert? Well, Edelman, outside of the screen pass, didn't do much besides muff a punt. You know, Ebert had a couple of drops, but at least he showed up. You know, at least he was out there, and maybe this is just because I'm not as sure of what he's capable of doing. You know, it's only the second game that we've seen him out there. But I don't know. I didn't think Ebert looked bad. Only 3 catches on 8 targets. But I thought there were a few different points where, and maybe it was just all the balls being thrown his way, but I don't know. I thought at least he seemed open at various points. I don't know that you could say the same thing about Edelman. Plus, you pile on the muff punt. I guess I'll go Ebert there just for tonight. Jonathan continues, did the kick punt returners, through their performance tonight, all but guaranteed Demps a spot as a returner before he even has his first practice? Again, I don't know if Demps is going to be returning punts. I don't know that. He didn't really do it in college. I think he returned 2 the whole time he was at Florida. He was a kick returner. So the punt returners were bad tonight. I just talked about Edelman. Brandon Bolden had a killer muffed punt. Killer muffed punt. So, yeah, I said this earlier. Like, it got me thinking, I'd love to see what Jeff Demps can do. But I don't know if specifically on punt returns the Patriots are going to put him out there. But the kick returns did squat tonight, too. Also, Jonathan concludes, which ex-Patriots cast-off will we come to wish we still had this season? Mark Anderson, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, Richard Seymour, Matt Cassel, Brandon Tate, Ted Larson, somebody else. Let's steer away from the guys who have been off the team for a few years, right? Like, let's throw out Seymour, because I think he's the obvious one on the list that we were given. And even Cassel and Tate and Larson. Let's just stick with Anderson or Green Ellis. I think that's a good question. Who are the Patriots going to miss more? And out of those two, I'd say Green Ellis. I actually think they're okay at running back. I like what I've seen out of Ridley. I like what I saw out of him last year. And I like what I saw out of him in the first preseason game. He didn't have much of a shake in the game tonight, but Ridley outrushed Vereen. Neither did well, but he outrushed Vereen late in the game. And by the way, Bolden didn't run the football well either. But out of those two guys, I just don't see them missing Mark Anderson. I just don't. I think you can replicate what he gave you last year. And it was good. It was double-digit sacks, but I think you can replicate what he gave you last year. And I think Chandler Jones has already gotten off to a nice start for you through two preseason games. So out of those two guys, I guess I'd say Green Ellis, but I don't think either are a major loss for the Patriots. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Circling back to a question that we talked about earlier on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show, Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. How do you feel about the Patriots' backup quarterback spot? And I guess the better question is, how do you feel compared to week one of the preseason? Do you feel better or worse? And I do feel better. Like week one of the preseason against the Saints, they were just such a disaster. Both of them. And tonight, not that he was great, because it was a mixed bag out of Ryan Mallett, but he was better going against another team's ones instead of their scrubs. And out there with decent personnel, but not your best. It's not like he was out there with Gronk and Welker and Lloyd and Hernandez. You know, he was out there with reserve personnel. So I don't know if Ryan Mallett's out there in a regular season game against a first team defense. You already saw what he could do against the Eagles' first team defense. And heaven forbid, Tom Brady goes down and Mallett's the guy they call on. I don't know if he's out there with the Patriots' best personnel. Tonight was somewhat promising for me. 10 of 20, 105 yards, touchdown. And I don't think those numbers tell all the story or tell the full story. I thought he looked comfortable in the pocket. I thought he was composed back there. And I think the touchdown to Alex Silvestro, to me, underscores his night. It's a nice microcosm for his night. Stepped up in the pocket, avoided the rush, found the open man, didn't panic. And there were times in the game where he panicked. Trust me. I talked about the play earlier where Cannon, Chucker, got beat. And Mallett's standing there pump faking and patting the football. And he just does an awful throw under pressure. Well, later on in that drive is when he threw the touchdown pass. So I thought there was some maturation and some improvement from Ryan Mallett from week one. I'm not saying I feel great about that spot behind Tom Brady, but I do feel better this week than I did going into the game last week, or going into this game, I should say, this week. Also, just sticking with backup quarterbacks for a second, Nick Foles has played well for the Philadelphia Eagles. 18 of 28, 217, couple of touchdowns tonight, and his pick was on a poorly thrown ball, like a well underthrown ball that Ebner, in fairness to him, made a play on. But his pick came on a poorly thrown ball. You know, I don't know. If I'm the Eagles, I don't know how high they are on this kid. They took him in the third round. He's a rookie. So you would assume they feel pretty good about him. But I guess none of the Patriots quarterbacks flashed quite the way that Nick Foles did. But we've seen them do it before. Specifically, we've seen Brian Hoyer do it in the preseason before. And I wouldn't totally write him off. But I do think Ryan Mallett at least fired a shot across Brian Hoyer's bow that maybe this will be more of a competition at backup quarterback than we initially assumed, at least than I initially assumed. And the fact that Bill Belichick started Mallett in this game, I don't think it means that Mallett has leapfrogged Hoyer yet. But I do think it leads you to believe that there's an opportunity there. And maybe it's a little closer, at least, than I initially gave it credit for. Patriots, again, fall to the Eagles, 27-17. Preseason, week number two here. And they'll be taking on the Tampa Bay Bucs on Friday night in a short week. They fly out to Tampa tomorrow. They have joint practices Wednesday, Thursday. And then they play that game on Friday. And that's the one that we're all going to be looking forward to. You know, that's the one that we want to see how the offensive line plays. We want to see how the starters play in that thing. And that's the one that we're all going to be looking forward to. And we'll talk to you on Friday night when the Patriots take on the Tampa Bay Bucs. They played their two preseason home games here, still two to go on the road. And Friday night will be the one where we really get a look in at a lot of those starters. And we can really truly evaluate things, which I'm not sure we could have done with this game tonight with the Patriots playing their backups against the Eagles starters. Thanks for your feedback tonight on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. As the Patriots fall to the Eagles by 10, evening their preseason record at 1-1. Make sure you stay tuned on Friday for the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, and I'll talk to you after the game on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. That's Friday here on Patriots.com.
This has been the Sunlight Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com radio. For more news, analysis, and reaction from today's game, tune into Patriots.com radio all week long. The Patriots continue the preseason Friday night in Tampa as they take on the Buccaneers. Kickoff is set for 7:30 p.m. Stay tuned for the Sunlight Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones immediately following the game. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite teams.